Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 376th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Circus Sports. Circus Sports is back with their Circus Survivor and Circa Millions contests. $14 million are up for grabs. Get all the details at circussports.com.
Hi, Joe Gennarinos, and welcome to episode 376 of the Sports... We're not the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. That's what we're on. We're the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. In my old age, every episode, I'm going to mess up the starting. 376 is going to go out to my son, Adam, who the second we hit record up here at the cottage, he took off onto the deck and let the dogs off so they could go swimming in the lake, which my wife did not want them to do. So this goes out to him. Good job. Getting me in trouble. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox, even though I'm Mr. Underdog to you now. I hit two plus 240 or higher ones last week. I picked a plus 241 on yesterday's episode. I'm rolling. We'll see how we do today. Today's episode is all about UFC 290 and the main card, all the prelim picks, 9 fights we broke down yesterday. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, get that in your ear holes. My co-host, Daniel Gumby-Reeland, more on him in a second, and myself, we agreed on every single pick, 9 fights, even including big underdogs. So make sure you jam that in your ear holes if you haven't already. We'll see how we do on the main card. You think we're gonna sync up here to Gumby or not? What do you think?
I mean, there's a couple that seem obvious as hell. I think there might be one there's one we differ on.
The Val Woodburn fight.
Yeah, Val. It's
that's what it's known as.
It's about you getting behind Val Woodburn.
It's known as the Val Woodburn fight from now on. So.
Love it.
Yeah. But we had some. One change to the main card. A lot of fights fell through in the lead up to this. Most of them were on the prelims, but the one fight, Bo Nickels, returned to the cage. Well, we have a promotional newcomer stepping in. Yesterday's episode was all about short notice replacement fighters, debuting short notice replacement fighters. Today's episode, we're going to kick it off with that right away. So, of course, we're talking about UFC 290, which is going down the T-Mobile Arena this Saturday, July the 8th. We did, like I said, prelims yesterday. Early prelims are 6 p.m. Eastern start time. The proper prelims, the four-fight prelim, main prelim card is 8 p.m., and now we're going to do the pay-per-view, which starts at 10 p.m. Before we get to all that, I got to tell you about one of our new sponsors here, Circa. We are brought to you by Circa Sports now. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor are back. $14 million in guaranteed prizes are up for grabs. Circa Millions is 5 NFL picks plus against the spread each week. Circa Survivor, you just got to pick a different money line winner each week. You enter in Vegas, play it from anywhere. Sports Gambling Podcast will be out there in Vegas at Circa the last weekend in August. CircaSports.com for all your details. That's C-I-R-C-A sports.com. Gumby already told us that he was going to buy a UFC Boston ticket if he wins $14 million, which is what you need to get a ticket into UFC Boston. And he told you to just blindly pick the Cowboys, right? No matter what you're in.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing the Giants, so that should be a gimme.
Oh, it's the boss, Kramer's team. All right. That's it. No, them's their fighting words. So get into circasports.com for all the info there. All right, let's break down this event that I set you up for. We're going to start with middleweights. Bo Nickel versus Val Woodburn, the aforementioned Val Woodburn. Val, the animal Woodburn, 7-0 with 5 knockouts. This is the short notice debut. He is a professional landscaper. That's not a joke. That's what he does. He's also a regional champion. Don't have reach info for him. He's at plus 1,300. I would think the number could be higher, but it's not. Bo Nickel, 4-0, 1 knockout, 3 submissions. So he's finished everyone. 1-0 in the UFC, won that fight via submission. 2-0 on the Contender Series. He was a world championship wrestler in his previous life, amateur wrestler. 5 inches taller than Woodburn, 3 years younger, minus 2,500. Obviously, Nickel is the pick unless you want to get some hedges done. And then Woodburn is the pick.
Yeah, I just think you just pick Bo Nickel here. It's just a fight to stay away from betting for me. I mean, like, you're going to start to look at those, like, first 60-second props, or, you know, you want to take some unders on Woodburn strikes. He's the problem for me is, and why I'm a little bit bummed, I actually said when Trajan Gore fell out, I was like, oh, whoever they find for a late replacement will be fine. Woodburn, I had already been scouting because he was set to be on Contender Series. And I was going to pick him to lose on Contender Series. Like, I already had his matchup pegged. He's fighting the new Hobo Cop, because this is going to be a new Hobo Cop. And I thought he was going to get torched on the feet, because he's just like, he's one of those guys who has gotten by on the regional scene by being wildly aggressive, which works against a lot of people on the regional scene. It doesn't work against a guy who's really good at ducking under and hitting a blast double. Or hitting any number of different kinds of takedowns, because he can hit whatever the hell he wants. But you're not going to just, like, bull rush him. You can't overpower a wrestler like that. You need to, like, keep your distance. And, like, he's just not very good at keeping his distance. So, yeah, I'm nothing really to say here other than Bo Nickel. Look for some early finish props when the books eventually post those, because it's a new enough matchup that we don't know.
Yeah, so you think it'll be, like, a first rounder? Is that what you're...
I mean, I think he's going to finish in the 30 seconds. It seems like the thing I really like about Bo Nickel as a prospect, and, like, I'm not as high as most people are, right? I'm not the ones out here calling for him to fight Alex Pajeda next weekend. I like the slow incline they're doing. Like, from Jamie Pickett to Trayshawn Gore was a smart move. Granted, I think Val Woodburn winds up being probably a sidestep to Jamie Pickett. But the thing I really like about Bo Nickel is whoever they give him, he's like, let me go do this as fast as possible to show people like I'm good. He's not out there being like, oh, I really need the cage experience. I got to go put in 15 minutes and try not to finish him. He's just like, I'm going to go do this in 30 seconds and then people will talk. And so, like, I think he does that again.
He fights like he's double parked, Dan, right?
Yeah. And he fights like he fights like he's confident enough in himself that he doesn't need the cage time. And I love that.
Yep. Yep. And if you're not confident in your lawn care skills, Val's Lawn Care Service, LLC, in the Orlando area is the place to go, Dan, okay?
I like that free promotion.
I may as well. We just dumped on the guy saying he's going to get beat. I may as well give him some free promotion here. All right, a more competitive fight coming up, more than likely at lightweight. Jalen Turner versus Dan Hooker. Jalen Turner's kind of our guy, right? He's borderline our guy.
Yeah, he's always been kind of one of my guys. I've interviewed him a couple of times. Super nice dude, too. So, yeah, I've always been a big Jalen Turner guy.
All right, let's see if he comes through for us or if we're picking him. He's fighting Dan the Hangman Hooker. Hooker is 22-12, 11 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times. 12-8 in the UFC. He's gone 1-2 over his last 3 and 2-4 over his last 6. Won his last fight via TKO. Used to fight down at featherweight. Multiple regional championships on his...
mantle.
Correct. Get the t-shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. 2009 pro MMA debut, kickboxing champion. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.22 strikes per minute. Plus 220 is the number on him. The tarantula, Dalen Turner? No, we'll call him Jalen. His parents called him Jalen. Jalen Turner, 13-6, 9 knockouts, 4 submissions. So he has finished everyone. He's been submitted 3 times. 6-3 in the UFC, 5-1 over his last 6. He lost his last fight. Used to fight up at welterweight. 1-0 in Contender Series, 2-0 in Bellator, 1-0 in World Series of Fighting. 3 inches of height on Hooker, 2 inches of reach, 5 years younger. He's more active landing strikes and has better grappling stats than Hooker. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.84 strikes a minute. Minus 245, the number on Turner.
I like Jalen Turner here.
Me too.
Yeah, it's like, it's not that hard of a pick for me, just because I think, you know, like one of the things that Hooker does best is like use his exceptionally long reach, right? Like that's what he did to Nasrat Haqparast back when they fought. And that's what he did to, you know, a lot of guys. Well, I mean, that's what he did trying to go down to 100. He went down to 145 to fight Arnold Allen, right? I think that's what he was trying to do there, was to abuse people. And even Arnold Allen was just kind of like a little bit too fast for him, or a little bit too sharp for him. And, you know, I think he's always had trouble with people who like match his reach and are more physical than him. I mean, you see that with Poirier or Chandler or Arnold Allen, or I mean, Edson Barboza was just like, I can hit you from farther away than you can hit me. But even like, if you want to go way back, like he had trouble with Yair Rodriguez and Jason Knight. And one of them was because he wasn't as physical as Jason Knight. Jason Knight like knew how to use his physicality better. Yair Rodriguez was fought longer and fought that. And like, Jalen Turner does all those things. He's really physical. He's really strong if he is in the clinch. He's the type of guy who, when he gets a chance to finish you, he doesn't miss. You know, a lot of people think he won that Matthews Gamrot fight. I'm personally not one of them. I had Gamrot winning that fight. But, like, you know, look at the run before that, finishing Brad Riddell or Jamie Mullarkey. Jamie Mullarkey win has aged very well. Or Josh Koulibaut, same thing, just aged really well. And his only losses have come to people who can wrestle. Matt Frivola, Matthews Gamrot. Like and that's just not Dan Hooker. So while I think these two are probably closer in terms of skill than the line says, I think style-wise, this line should be further apart. I just think he's a really bad style matchup for Dan Hooker.
Yeah, I'm really liking Turner here as well. As you mentioned, Hooker is usually the bigger man in these lightweight fights. Not gonna be the case here. Turner is a massive, like 6'3", 100. Well, for a few seconds, he's 155 pound fighter. So really like him. Really like his all around game here as well. So Turner is our pick. Let's move up a couple weight classes to middleweight. Robert Whittaker versus Dricus Duplessis or Plesis. There, this one's being labeled as UFC middleweight title eliminator, aka a number one contender fight. Let's tell you about DDP first. Strikers do Plessis. Still Knox is a nickname. We still don't know what it means. It's 19-2, 8 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 5-0 in the UFC. Four of those 5 wins have come via finish. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the t-shirt at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. He also is the KSW champion. That belt is also on his mantle in South Africa. He used to fight at welterweight, 2013 pro MMA debut. Inch height, 3 inches reach on Whittaker, 4 years younger than him. He's more active landing strikes and has better grappling stats, surprisingly. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost 3 strikes a minute, plus 2.99 is the number. He's at plus 310 on the board. Bobby Whittaker, Robert Whittaker, the Reaper or Bobby Knuckles? Which one do you prefer?
Bobby Knox.
Yep, me too. Well, Bobby Knox, we're going to shorten it even better. He's 25-6, 10 knockouts, 5 submissions, knocked out twice, submitted once, 15-4 in the UFC. Used to be the champion of the world at middleweight in the UFC. He's gone 4-1 over his last 5 fights, including winning his last fight. Used to fight at welterweight, 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and the champion of that season. Was a regional champion, 2009 pro MMA debut. Also was a wrestling champion before this, amateur. Plus, he's outstruck his opponents by 1.2 strikes per minute. Minus 375 is the number. Whittaker is the pick. Duplessis, not good. Dangerous, but not a very good fighter. Assuming Whittaker has not totally fallen off a cliff yet, which he hasn't shown in hints of that in past fights, then it should be Whittaker's fight all day here. So Whittaker's the pick.
Yeah, and like, here's the thing, you know, and I know this line seems steep. Robert Whittaker is not lost to anybody not named Israel Adesanya in almost, no, I take that back, not almost, in over 9 years. He has only lost to Israel Adesanya over the last 9 years, moving in like 6 months away from this being a full decade of having lost to only Israel Adesanya. And before that, it was Wonderboy. And down at a weight class, let's be honest, he should have never been at. You know, he's obviously done a lot better work up here. I think Robert Whittaker, in the his ability to stay safe on the feet while also poking away at his opponents and landing his stuff, I think that just is going to wear out Duplessis' so bad. Like, I think Duplessis is going to just, like, I mean, I think he's going to be tired by the end of the first round. I think he's still going to be getting picked apart in the second round. You know, he's got those big muscles. You want to make that joke about guys with big muscles being tired quick. But, like, it works with him. He gets tired quick. And, you know, Whitaker's a guy who went 15 minutes with Jared Cannonier. He went 25 minutes with Izzy. He went 15 minutes again with Marvin Vettori. All of those guys notoriously are dudes who wear you out. And he looks just as good in the fifth round as he does in the first. So yeah, give me Robert Whittaker just picking him apart at will until he gets exhausted.
Yep. All that flailing tires the guy out. All right. I'm gonna tell you about Underdog Fantasy. We haven't picked any dogs yet, but maybe one is on the way. We are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania 4 is here at Underdog Fantasy, is giving away $15 million in prizes. Underdog Pick'em is also a great way to get down on your favorite MLB and NFL season player props. So many ways to win over on Underdog, and Underdog is available in so many states. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, T. What are we going to go to? Oh, yes. The co-main event for the Flyweight Championship of the World. Brandon Moreno, Alexandra Pantoja. I'll tell you about the challenger. Pantoja first. The Cannibal is the nickname. 25-5, 8 knockouts, 10 submissions, never been finished in a fight. That's 30 fights, no finish, never been finished. 9-3 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight and 4 of 5. Last 2 wins have come via submission. He went 2-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. He beat Moreno in the Ultimate Fighter house. He also beat him in the UFC cage before. So he's technically 2-0 against the champ Moreno. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. We're saying that a lot these episodes. 2007 was his pro MMA debut. He's more active landing strikes than Moreno. He's got a positive strike differential of 0.87 strikes per minute. And he's at plus 163. The assassin, baby. The champ, Moreno. 1-6-2. 5 knockouts, 11 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 9-3-2 in the UFC. He's been the champion twice. This is his second reign currently. He's won 2 straight. And he's got 8-1-1 over his last 10 fights. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. One more time, we get to do it. Used to fight up at bantamweight, 2011 pro MMA debut. 2 inches height, 3 inches of reach over Pantoja, 3 years younger than him. He's got a positive strike differential of 0.36 strikes per minute. He's got better grappling stats than Pantoja, minus 188. Over to you.
I'm going to take my lone dog on the main card here. Spoiler alert on the main event. Sorry. I'm going to take Pantoja here. What was the plus number you said next to him?
163.
I love those fancy numbers. I like Pantoja in this fight, not just because he's beaten Moreno twice. Obviously, they're different fighters from the last 2 times they fought. You know, it's been a while since we saw Pantoja fight Reno. Let's see, that one happened. The last one happened in 2018. So that was a little over 5 years ago. The first one happened in 2016. So we're talking about 7 years ago. So yeah, like you can lean a little bit on their past results. But I would also say, like, if you're asking how they've changed since those fights, for me, I just love the way Pantoja has changed. Whereas before he would be like, I feel like I'm doing all right striking with this guy. I don't need to use my grappling, despite the fact that his grappling is the best aspect of his game. You know, like, he doesn't do anything better than he does jiu-jitsu. He's dangerous on the feet. He hits hard, for sure. He does all those things. But, like, he is his best when he's mixing his takedowns in and he's using some of that top jiu-jitsu. And early when he fought Moreno, he didn't use it very much. In fact, he didn't shoot a single takedown against Brandon Moreno when they fought in the UFC. And that's changed with him now. I think now Alexandre Pantoja is a guy who knows he's really good at jiu-jitsu and grappling and knows that it opens his striking up more. And so he's more willing to lean on it and lean on it early and often. Because when he fought Brandon Royval, he shot 4 takedowns in the first round against Royval. And you know, some of it worked, some of it didn't. But the bottom line is he had Royval thinking about it. And that's sort of what led him to opening up his hands a little bit in that fight. You know, he didn't really have to look for it all that often against Alex Perez because he got it right early in the fight. I mean, that fight took a minute and 31 seconds. 25 seconds of it was on the feet. You know, like, he got right to it in order to do that. So I like love this change in him where he's like, if I get to the grappling early, I win. And it's been working for him. I think that gives Moreno a lot of problems. I think it's going to make the striking opening up for Pantoja. And like I said before, it's not that he's bad striking, but I just think, like, his game planning has gotten a lot better. Obviously Moreno's gotten better in a ton of areas too, but for me, that's the difference maker. I'll take Pantoja.
Guess what? I'm taking him too. I mean, you're going 14 for 14, Dan.
That's it.
Yeah. No, you pretty much summed it all up. I just like what I've been seeing from Pantoja. He hasn't been dragged through a million wars with Figueiredo either, which can't be too good for your long-term health in the sport for Moreno as well. So yeah, Pantoja is the pick for me as well. Gumby laid it out for you already. Don't need to tell you much more than that. Main event time. Sounds like we're agreeing on this one too. Us and pretty much everybody else in the world. Featherweight championship. It's technically unification belt, but we don't really acknowledge interim belts around these parts. Alexander Volkanovski, the true champ, versus the interim champ, Yair Rodriguez. Rodriguez El Pantera, 15-3 with one no contest, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 10-2 with one no contest in the UFC. He's won 2 straight, and he's on 4-1 with one no contest over his last 6. His last 2 wins have come via finish. As I said off the top, he's the interim champ. He went 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and was the champion there as well. 2011 Pro MMA debut, 5 inches of height over Volkanovski, 4 years younger. He's got a positive strike differential of plus 0.75 strikes a minute. He's at plus 333. There's another fun number. Alexander the Great. Volkanovski needs a better nickname than that, a greater nickname. He's 25-2, 12 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 12-1 in the UFC. He is the champion of this weight class. He's defended it successfully 4 times already. 22-1 and 1 over his last 23 fights. He did lose his last fight. He barely got edged out by the lightweight champion. Used to fight at lightweight, as I said, and used to fight up at welterweight as well. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the t-shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. All right, last time I'm doing that. Today. 2012 Pro MMA debut. 1-0 as a pro boxer. Striking, active striking stats, and grappling stats on his favor over Rodriguez. He's almost outstruck his opponents by 3 strikes a minute. He's at plus 295 per minute in the positive, and he's at minus 400. Obviously, Volkanovski is my pick, as we had already hinted at. There's a chance Rodriguez could catch him with Supplin. Sure, there's a chance, but we've never seen Volkanovski get caught with Supplin before. He looks so good in a losing effort in his last fight as well. Hasn't really lost anything. It's not like he's slipping down the slope to the end of his career at this point. So I see him taking care of Rodriguez here. But like I said, there's an outside shot that he could get caught with something, but that's not what I'm betting on.
Yeah, and the problem for me in saying that, like, there's a good chance he could get caught with something is, like, he fought Max Holloway. You know what I mean? And Max Holloway... And don't take anything away from Yair Rodriguez. Max Holloway is a much better boxer than Yair Rodriguez. A much better boxer than Yair Rodriguez. And for anybody who doubts me, go watch him fight Yair Rodriguez. Because he just absolutely pieces up Yair Rodriguez's face for 25 minutes. It's just not a fight that I think lends itself well to getting caught. Because the thing about Volkanovski is, in the 75 minutes he's fought Max Holloway, I don't know that Max has really had him wobbled. You know what I mean? Volkanovski has been in there with Max Holloway and Jose Aldo in his prime and like all of these other guys who hit like trucks, and none of them have touched it. You know what I mean? None of them have come close to like getting their hands on him. You know, the closest we could say to having beat him is Brian Ortega in a submission effort. And I don't know that Yair Rodriguez has got the same kind of submission game as Ortega. And I know he caught him with a submission, blah, 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 that dislocated his shoulder. It you know, you can say whatever you want about that weird fluky moment in time. But I just think the fact of the matter is Volkanovski has a striking advantage here. I think he's so good defensively. He's such a tactician. And I will just say this. I think he can just take down Yair Rodriguez whenever he wants. We've seen Yair Rodriguez get taken down way too many times. I mean, like, that's why he lost to Frankie Edgar. That's, you know, even Max Holloway was like, hey, how about I take him down and just show him what's what here for a second? Like, I think Volkanovski does that a couple of times, too, if he wants. Buys himself some time if he is feeling uncomfortable on the feet. So, yeah, give me Volkanovski. I don't think anybody's beaten Volkanovski outside of people in different weight classes.
You mentioned Brian Ortega. Did you hear he broke up with Tracy Cortez?
I did. And I also was told that if you're looking for a hilarious time, go ahead and look through his Twitter likes that are public since they've broke up.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Let's recap all of our consensus picks once again. Volkanovski, Pantoja, Whitaker, Turner, and Nickel. I guess we'll take Nickel. Why not? I didn't even put it down. It's such a lock. I forgot to type it in. All right. We're not done. Speaking of locks, we got our locks. We got some dogs. We got some parlays. We got some props coming your way. Gumby will kick things off with a lock. Maybe we'll lock in on now. Well, I'll try to pick something different. We don't want all the same.
It's okay if some are the same. If you've got stuff that's the same as me, I won't mind. But I'm going to kick it off. I like Jalen Turner, -245. I think the style matchup absolutely sucks for Dan Hooker. I think he pieces him up in a bad way.
Yep, that is a good pick. I will take, give me Nico Price over Robbie Lawler, -250. This shouldn't be much of a contest.
Yeah, I was flipping a coin between those two. Those were my two locks too. For my underdog, I'm going to go early in the card. I'm going to take Camuela Kirk. I think there's some other dogs I like in there, as we've talked about over the last couple of episodes. I'm interested in them, but like, I think Kirk is getting weirdly slept on here, against the Ribovic guy who I think is going to have a tough time with what Kirk does. So yeah, give me Camuela Kirk.
All right. I'm going to take a big swing. Yeah. Let's take Procneo +240 over Petrino. That's a number we didn't really understand too much. So let's try to take advantage of it here.
Usually I'm the big swinger and I'm the chalkier looking guy today.
That's
an issue. I'm going to take kind of a chalky prop too. I've been a little stale on my props here, as you guys had heard in the recap show earlier in the week. I'm absolutely steamrolling dogs. I'm doing very well with locks. My props, I think I've been swinging a little too heavily. So I'm gonna swing a little less heavily. I'm gonna say Gomes versus Jauregui goes the distance. Gomes versus Jauregui on the prelim card goes the distance. It's -130. It's still a negative number, but when you see a fight that, you know, Jauregui has not been a big finisher in the UFC, I think this fight probably is pretty easy for her to win. But even if you like Gomes, like I don't think this is, she's going to knock Jauregui out. So just take it by decision and get damn near even money on it.
And how much are you getting again? Sorry, what's the number?
-130.
-130. All right. Do you see what the number is on Bo Nickel round one? -100,000, Dan.
No, that's just a.
No, wait, wrong way.
Yeah, that's just a calculation error by bestfightodds.com. Right. So that one doesn't actually exist.
Yeah. Oh, I want to bet at -100. It would make sense. So -100,000. Okay. That's, What do I want for my prop here? Boom, 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 boom. This is a tough. Let's check what this is. Let's check what Nico Price is. Nico Price via knockout is what? Let me see.
Price by knockout plus 123.
All right, that's it. I'm going all in on Nico Price here, so hopefully he comes through. So Price, AO 123, you said?
Yep.
All right, awesome. So blocks, Turner and Price. Dogs, Kirk and Procneo. Props, Gomes, Haurege to go the distance, and Price via knockout. All right, now for Hunger Man Jong Superfan parlay, a two-fight parlay is going to win us big money. Hit it.
So I'm going to keep the theme going with some more Nico Price action. I also like Nico Price, as I said before. I also like him to be able to beat Robbie Lawler fairly quickly, but I'm gonna hinge my prop on the amount of time it takes him rather than how it takes him. I like Nico Price in round one. I'll take him at that number. It comes in at plus 270 for him to get it done in round one. You know, like I said, he's notoriously a wild man. I'm not sure what's left of Robbie Lawler's chin. I don't know that it takes him two rounds to get Robbie Lawler out of there. So I'll take Nico Price in round one, plus 270. I'm going to pair it with Robert Whittaker, wins by decision. And I know, like I said before, I think he's going to tire out Duplessis. But I will say this. It's been a really long time since Robert Whittaker has finished anybody. Like a really long time. The last person he finished was Jacare, which is going to be over 6 years since he finished him with the head kick. He finished Jacare and Derek Brunson back to back with head kicks to get his title shot. And like he hasn't finished anybody since then. And I think his style has become safer, which is what makes him such a bad matchup for Duplessis. So Whittaker by decision is plus 220. I think that one's kind of a steal.
And what's the big number we're getting at the end of?
Pair them together. You're going to get 1084.
1084. All right. Price round one, Whittaker via decision plus 1084. A very doable parlay. We always try to give you ones that we think could come through. All right. That is it for us. We'll be back on Sunday to recap and count all the money that we won. In the meantime, we shall be hanging out at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord in the fights channel in there. Twitter, SGP and MMA, Gumby Vreeland and Jeff Fox Writer are the handles to go to. Subscribe to my Substack, get everything, all my writing in your inbox, enter my pick'em contest, moneymma.substack.com, moneymma.substack.com, and get Gumby in your ear holes, minus me, on his Top Turtle podcast. This week, he interviews someone from the Contender Series who I already forgot who it was, and Chelsea Chandler. Who was the person you interviewed before?
Peyton Talbot.
Right, Peyton Talbot. Good interview. All right, listen to Top Turtle MMA, and we can find all good things in sports gambling sphere at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Gummy, take it away.
All right, I'm Danny Gummy Vreeland. He's the Animal Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.